A partnership that could shake up the global aircraft business. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. The deal for Airbus to buy a majority stake in Bombardier's C-Series aircraft has a lot of implications. It would allow Canada's Bombardier to potentially get around proposed U.S. tariffs. But Simon Calder of the BBC's travel show says U.S. rival Boeing is not happy.
Boeing is saying this is completely out of order. You have two state-subsidised organisations, Bombardier of Canada, Airbus of Europe, and frankly, it's anti-competitive. They are trying to dump these aircraft, and it's got to stop.
Does the deal, though, mean that those tariffs might go away if the planes are assembled in the US?
That is certainly Airbus and Bombardier's cunning plan. They say we're assembling the aircraft in the US, therefore there's nothing to see. These are American-made aircraft for American carriers. No duty is payable, thank you very much. Of course, Boeing is going to argue in court that actually the final assembly is effectively meaningless and that all the real high-value stuff is done outside the US. So they should certainly still be subject to those punitive duties.
But Bombardier does gain with this deal a foothold now in the very lucrative Asian market.
That is a really intriguing dimension to this whole extraordinary corporate saga. And yes, they will be absolutely thrilled that on the back of Airbus, they will now be able to go to the very rapidly growing Chinese airlines and just say, here we are, we've just got the aircraft for you. But of course, they'll be right up against the Chinese state-owned aircraft manufacturer, Comac, who are very much playing for the same market.
Simon Calder, let's do the numbers. That news today giving rise to Airbus stock. It climbed over 2.5% this morning, not enough to help lift the Paris benchmark CAC 40 overall, which fell slightly, and a mixed picture across Asia after a warning from North Korea that a nuclear war could, quote, break out at any moment. Hong Kong closed slightly higher. Shanghai slipped 0.2%. China's five-yearly Communist Party Congress opens tomorrow, more austere than before, as President Xi Jinping tackles corruption and sets out a roadmap for the world's second-largest economy. Meanwhile, an editorial published in state-run media today attacks Western democracy. From Beijing, here's John Sudworth.
The editorial doesn't mention Donald Trump by name, nor does it refer to Brexit. But the political divisions in America and Europe have, it seems, given China a growing sense of confidence in the strengths of its own one-party system. The latest Xinhua offering, published one day before the opening of the Communist Party Congress, is a kind of triumphalist whoop of an editorial. Crisis and chaos are swamping Western democracy, it says, with endless political backbiting, bickering and policy reversals retarding economic and social progress. Instead, in China, social harmony prevails. What it doesn't mention, of course, is that here, political bickerers and backbiters, in fact political opponents of any kind, are largely all locked up. In Beijing, I'm the BBC's John Sudworth for Marketplace.
What is the future of cash? In an age of online shopping and digital payments, surely it's disappearing? Not so, according to the woman whose signature appears on every British banknote. Victoria Cleland, chief cashier of the Bank of England, says last year, British banknotes actually grew 10% by value.
There are lots of alternatives to cash, but there are a number of things that cash offers that the others don't. Some people, for example, really like the tangibility of cash. You know that you've either got it in your wallet or you've spent it. It can be a really helpful budgeting technique. It doesn't rely on as much technology. For example, there'll be a number of times where the card terminals don't work and people sort of need to move to cash. Some people will use cash for a store of value. So it has lots of different functions that different people will use at different times.
But isn't cash expensive? For businesses, certainly, you've got to store it, guard it, deposit it, move it around securely.
Actually, the data from the British Retail Consortium shows that cash is actually the cheapest payment mechanism for the retailers, coming in far lower than various cards.
That's really surprising.
I think it's because you've got enormous economies of scale in the use of cash.
Do we have an emotional attachment, do you think, to coins and notes? I mean, before the euro came in, people had currencies from all over Europe. We used them as souvenirs. We've been looking at commemorative coins and notes. Is it possible that we will never go to digital currency for that reason alone?
I think there is a strong sort of affiliation between people and their national currency. We've certainly seen an awful lot of interest in the work we've been doing with notes. So, for example, a couple of years ago, we held a public nomination process to see who the public would like to feature on the next £20 note. We had over 30,000 people sort of writing in with about nearly 600 different names for all sorts of stories about coins and notes. So people really do like the tangibility of it. They like the design, and it is a symbol of sort of their currency. So I think for some people that is incredibly important.
Victoria Cleland, her signature appears on every British banknote. Finally, Facebook has just bought the 9-week-old app TBH for an undisclosed sum. The app allows teens to anonymously rate each other without trolling or bullying. I just downloaded it, and the age wheel does go up to 40. TBH stands for To Be Honest. You can be honest with us. Just tweet us at BBC Business. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.